Some of you might understand tulip, which is something that the Calvinists would use, and I'm going to be delving into that a little bit as well, but I don't want to go too deep, or you and I will both be a little confused by this, but I don't think there's much confusion really to be had as we go through this. In prevenient grace, you see, God works before we even recognize it. God is working before we even know He's working. In fact, you read a text like in Jeremiah 1:5 where He talks about knowing us before we were even in our mother's womb. Amen. Justifying grace and convincing grace kind of explains itself when you think of that word. Justifying grace, He saved us. We only respond to His grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 talks about that. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith. And even faith itself is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And then sanctifying grace, which is that perfecting grace. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it talks about that. So I want to spend just a little bit of time this morning. This is the one probably I could spend the least amount of time on, because I think, as I explain it here briefly, I think we can all understand it a little bit easier. Prevenient grace. This grace is universal. Prevenient grace. God's grace is there universally. And how I know that is this. I'm not talking about saving grace here. I'm talking about prevenient grace. It supports to me the notion of, and now you're thinking, Dave, you're talking more like a reformed guy now. It supports the notion of total depravity. You know what it means to be totally depraved? It means that it affects the whole person. It affects the whole person. The whole person has been affected by sin. Everything about us has been affected by sin. And the reason why I think total depravity works, and I'm talking as one that's got a little Wesleyan perspective here, is this. Without God's grace, you and I are utterly sinful. He says in Romans chapter 1, he talks about how He gave us over to the depravity of our mind. And what happens when that happens? If God's grace is not there, what happens? We get more and more and more depraved. Sin takes us further and further and further away from God. What happens to us when you are, let me use this as an example. You're watching the television. You guys, there's a scene on the television where there's some partial nudity. Before you know it, there's even more that's involved with sort of that. I keep this G-rated here this morning. Where does your mind start to go, start to wander? It goes deeper and deeper. And there's a part of you that says, I want to see more and more and more. What is that? Depravity. But what's also involved in all of this is God's grace, His prevenient grace. And I believe that God's grace is universal, although it is a grace that humanity, the more and more that we delve into sin, the more and more when we do this selfish thing, that we kind of push away God's prevenient grace. But when someone says to me, and we've had these discussions before, we are totally depraved. Does that mean that we can't do anything good? I mean, I see bad people still do some good stuff. I think that's evidence of God's prevenient grace. That God's grace is at work in humanity, drawing us to what He desires for us. He's working before we even act on it. And that's why there is no works righteousness in all of this, because God's prevenient grace has been working before we even know it. I think every human good deed is a product of prevenient grace. I just want you to think about this morning. Some of you might be confused as we go through this, but I think God will make it clear as we keep going. God is working on humanity even while we are in denial. I believe we can really do nothing good without His grace. That's not discounting the fact that bad people do some pretty good stuff from time to time. I believe that's because of God's prevenient grace. You see, that sort of fits. Fits both with a Reformed kind of understanding, and that also fits very much with the Wesleyan understanding, because that was a big thing of Wesley's, this preventing or this prevenient grace. And he uses it, this kind of a description. The first dawning of grace in the soul. This is the grace that comes before us in every aspect of our relationship with God. It's given to all men and women, and it manifests itself in the first wish to please God. And that first wish to please God comes from grace that is given previous to that. God's first in all of this, folks. God's grace is first in all of this. God's grace is first. Now, R.C. Sproul would say something like this. He talks about irresistible grace. He says, we are capable of resisting God's grace, but the idea here is that God's grace is so powerful that it has the capacity to overcome our natural resistance to it. And that's coming from more of a Reformed understanding. So, prevenient grace. Let me keep going with this. It's unmerited. It draws an open heart to explore God when otherwise we wouldn't. Looking even at the text this morning that was read in the Gospel of John there in chapter 6. In verse 40 we read this. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that sounds a little bit like almost that it's the person's will. But it's prefaced by verse 39. He who looks to the Son and believes, prefaced by that Jesus would lose none that God had given him. Ultimately, when we look at those two verses together, what happens is God is leading us. It's not our work. It is God's work in us. I want to get this at the beginning of all of this discussion about grace, because I hope what it does is it completely eliminates from our vocabulary that any of this is our own doing. It's all God's doing. And I believe that's the case in both a Reformed tradition and in a Wesleyan tradition. Prevenient grace points to the knowledge that there is a Creator. The work of Jesus testifies that the Father sent Him, as John chapter 6 just indicated as we read earlier. The power is not so much in the words, but it's in the One who gave them. Think about that. Scripture does not speak to us because of eloquent words, but because the author's grace emanates through the words. Let me say that to you again. Scripture does not speak to us because of eloquent words, but because the author's grace emanates through the words. It's important for us to know. The Holy Spirit is the conduit through which this grace is recognized. This is all this idea of prevenient grace, this grace that came before you and I even responded to it. Romans 1 tells us that God's invisible qualities, His eternal qualities and divine nature known from the beginning, we are without excuse, so prevenient grace is universal. Let me say that again. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about this. God's invisible qualities, His eternal qualities, His divine nature have been known from the beginning so that we are without excuse, so prevenient grace is universal. I believe in every human heart there's a hole. And some have become so hardened to God's grace, they have let sin become so much a part of who they are that their hearts are hardened and they don't recognize the hole that was meant to be filled by God through His grace. We'll talk more about that in the future here. Where can I see prevenient grace? Genesis 1 and God's creation. It all speaks of a Creator God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's prevenient grace in us if you'll allow your eyes to see, even as we look out right now, you can see the beauty of God's creation. This wasn't something that happened, boom, in chaos. It happened in order. It happened by a creator God. And you can see it when you look and see the beauty of God's creation. It speaks of God's prevenient grace because creation speaks to God the Creator. His prevenient grace is in new life. It speaks of a dependency on someone greater, even when we speak of human life. The birth of a child, the reliance upon someone else, and you and I, as we live our lives, we realize there is a dependence on someone else, and that someone else is God. Shown to us through His prevenient grace. He feeds us. You and I sometimes think we feed ourselves. Oh, some of you have gardens and you grow your vegetables and you have fruit trees and all that stuff. Yeah, I grew myself. I'm feeding myself. But we don't really realize that God has provided for us. God has provided all that for us. I think we need to acknowledge that. That's why it's a habit of Christians at the table when the food is set there to take some time before we eat to say, thank you, God. Thank you. You feed us. An acknowledgement of prevenient grace. I'm going to stop right there this morning. And I'm going to continue on with this, but I want you to understand that to start with, that God's grace goes before us. That might disturb some of you who think, well, you know, I came to Christ because I said yes to something because I thought it made sense to me. And what I'm telling you is, in prevenient grace, God was moving us before we even thought of it. And we're responding to that because of God's prevenient grace. Let's continue on with this discussion of grace as we go through this together. And I'm hoping it's going to make more and more sense to you as you talk about the whole aspect. Because it's a big umbrella, folks. God's grace is so immense. It's so huge. And we sang some songs this morning about grace. It is huge. And I hope as we walk through this, we can begin to understand all the aspects of God's amazing grace. Let's pray. God, thank you this morning for that grace that went before us. Before we were formed in the womb. That grace that we respond to in Ephesians 2. Because it is by grace that we've been saved through faith, and even that was a gift of yours. And we thank you, O God, that you are the one that's transforming us into your likeness. God, we thank you and praise you for all of this morning. Give us a heart and a mind of understanding to the immensity of your grace. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close?